When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Corporate social responsibility is just that, a responsibility. Companies should use their influence, talent, and financial resources to help others. Beyond doing good just for the sake of it, it's also good for business. Research shows that consumers actively seek out and establish a deeper connection with brands that share their values. One core platform that Supima and fashion brand Michael Starr share is education. And both have longstanding initiatives dedicated to making a difference in this area. I'm Sarah Jones, Senior Editor Strategic Content at Sourcing Journal, and I'm here with Mark Lukowitz, President and CEO of Supima, and Suzanne Lerner, co-founder and CEO of Michael Starrs. They're here to discuss how their companies give back to younger generations. Great to see you. Thank you both for being here.
Hi, Sarah. Great to be here. Hello, Suzanne.
Hi, Mark. Great to be here, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me.
Just to kick things off, could you share a bit about how Supima and Michael Starr started working together? How did this relationship begin?
I've been with the organization since 2003, and Suzanne's been part of the organization as a licensee with Supima since 2004. So I've known Suzanne almost as long as I've been with Supima. And Suzanne kind of made her journey into the world of Supima well before becoming a licensee. She discovered the quality of the fiber, the domestic production, the sourcing that was done with the production in California, which is just up the road from her production facilities and her offices. And she automatically connected to the fiber. She lives through, in a way, through example and lives her life by trying to have a positive impact for good in all aspects of her business.
Something that has been around almost as long as your partnership with Michael Starrs is Supima's design competition, which just celebrated its 15th anniversary. What have been some of the highlights over the past decade and a half? And as an ingredient brand, what is the impact of supporting education and up-and-coming industry talent?
When we started, we weren't sure exactly what it would end up being. And today, it really has become a launch pad for a lot of the creatives that are getting out into the industry today, working directly and closely with the schools and providing educational sessions relative to cotton and Supima and the benefits of using a natural fiber. All of those resonate with an audience that typically didn't have enough knowledge or understanding of the input materials that they were using in the creations that they were creating for their collections. And having the ability to share meaningful and responsible messaging and information around the cotton itself really connects with the designers and the marketing people because they can help understand what makes it unique and special, why it's valuable, and how it would be a property and a product that would be of interest to their consumers and customers. The design competition started 15 years ago, and it has evolved into something that's now multinational. Instead of just being in the U.S., we have a design lab event in Paris that we work with up-and-coming designers and fashion houses there. We also work with the Festival of the Year. And connecting directly with the students and the younger designers, it is drawing in attention from our brand partners as well, because they're looking for avenues to tell authentic and realistic, responsible stories about the products that they're utilizing in their supply chains to make the quality products that they make. You know, so the design competition, in a way, is a tool that provides a holistic, comprehensive wraparound to connect the entire supply chain from the very beginning.
I have to add, I've attended their fashion show, Supima's fashion show, and seen them in action, and how incredibly amazing the young designers are and how innovative they are utilizing Supima. And I think this Gen Zs care about the environment so much that it's going to, I think Pima will become even more important brand for them to understand the longevity of the fiber, and so which creates longevity in the garment.
Suzanne, the Michael Stars Foundation has taken a different approach to educational outreach. Could you share a bit about your partnership with Step Up?
Oh, sure. You know, our foundation started, Michael and I started it over 15 years ago because we wanted to talk about an equitable world for women and girls and a lot about equality, since that was our customer base. And so we started utilizing Step Up mentoring program. It's been about 10 years we've been doing it. So it's young women, sophomore to seniors in high school in the LA area, coming from more of the inner city, and helping them think about professions. They want to go to college. What do they want to do? I think a lot of times people are like, you have to be a doctor or a lawyer or a social worker, which was my issue growing up. We want them to know about what you can do within the fashion industry. There aren't a lot of people anymore in the world that produce locally. We've been an LA-based company for almost 40 years and produce 75% of our products in Los Angeles. So I have merchandising teams, design teams, pattern makers for local production, tech designers for imports, QC. There's so much involved holistically within somebody, a company that's producing domestically. So they didn't know that a pattern maker makes six figures, and what else there is to do within it. And it's not just a social media. So they get excited. We get them through the design process, and then we actually help them how to appear in an interview, like what to do in an interview. So it helps us as much as them because we're so able to give back and help share our experiences. And they get really excited about, especially fashion, of course, every teenage girl. So it's been a wonderful partnership.
That's great. Giving them that firsthand experience in fashion. In addition to Step Up, I know your foundation has also supported Children Mending Hearts. What drew you to this organization's work, and how have you gotten involved?
Well, I met Lisa Hesloff, the founder, many years ago at an event, charitable event, and I loved it because it talks about empathy and compassion, teaching children. There's not enough of it. I think there's so much violence on video and TV, and they don't get an opportunity to share their hearts. And how do you bring that to children who are living in communities that there's not a lot of it out there? There might be single parents. They might have other caregivers, and the public schools, very tough. So she started it with just a few dozen students. Now they're in multiple schools. They've also created a curriculum. And I was really lucky during COVID because they started going back to school. I was able to participate. I spent the morning, and it's such a wonderful curriculum. And they end up with stones that they hand paint. But there's words that they talk about: love, compassion, empathy, giving, friendship, love. And they paint their rocks, and then they exchange them. And then they tell their stories about how they've given it to someone that matters to them. Just creating that connectivity.
In case the audience doesn't know, Supima itself is a nonprofit. Mark, besides your work in education, how can Supima have a positive impact and change within the industry?
You know, one of the fundamental ways is just about the credibility and the authenticity of how we approach our business. It's been a journey since the founding of the organization, since 1954, and we've always strived to be as responsible in terms of working with the industry, providing information, sharing the facts around the sourcing and the processes of growing the cotton, doing farm tours, and sharing that information. One of the challenges has always been within the textile industry, and it's the transparency or lack of transparency that has persisted in the textile industry since its foundation. Today, you know, starting in 2023, we have changed the framework for what we think is the future of textiles by implementing technology through a digital blockchain for complete traceability and transparency, and combining that with forensic science approach, so a cotton CSI kind of technological approach of looking at the trace elements of the fiber such that we can map that fiber back to the point of origin. So for the first time, you have a real level of authenticity that allows the brands, the supply chain, to understand where the cotton came from. Most of our cotton is grown in California. It's all grown in this West and Southwest. The other states are Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. It's a drought-stricken environment, but one of the benefits of our fiber is that it's drought-tolerant. So it uses less water than a lot of the other agricultural crops. So it's a responsible way of providing growers an opportunity of finding and providing a livelihood for their families while utilizing the resources of the available land to produce something that's valuable and impactful for not only their community, but a global community, because our cotton is exported. About 95% of our cotton is actually exported. Most of that is then exported to spinning mills overseas and then moved on to manufacturers. So the impact of that cotton goes a long way to providing opportunities and job opportunities for a very wide-ranging group of countries, very rural communities, and provides them opportunities that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Can I just say that's incredible? That is incredible to be able to have that traceability. You know, because we could talk about Supima and what we do and who we are, but I know the larger corporations, everybody really needs to have that actual data to prove to people and the fact that you have it. And I'm very proud to be able to buy Supima.
Yeah, and we're happy to have you. Your products are, you know, amazing, you know, with a great great story behind it, you know, between you and your husband founding the company, your DEI work, your women empowerment work in terms of the people that you have working for Michael Starrs. You know, these are all the relationships and the connectivity that ties Supima together and adds to the story and the value of it.
I'm happy to do it. It's the only way I breathe and live. It's always been that way. We've always felt that way. I think there's not many corporations can say they've had a foundation almost 20 years ago, especially a smaller company. We're an SME. Everybody thinks we're some big monster. We're not. We have 110 employees, 85% are women. And we've cared about those issues of equality and traceability. We've actually just applied for a B Corp status. And the consultant said, wow, you've been a B Corp without being a B Corp. And I said, yeah, because that's how we've driven our business. It's what we've always cared about. So I think a lot of the larger people, folks out there, have to make it part of their mission and branding forever that this issues. And a lot of them have women as customer base, and we need to make sure that we are equal in all forms of law, which are not. It will only help improve economy. It'll improve the GDP. It improves everything for women to have equality. I'm just shouting it out to everybody out there for them to realize it.
Suzanne, it's apparent from what you've just shared that Michael Starrs is a highly active corporate citizen. We've just skimmed the surface of your outreach. In your opinion, what role should the fashion industry be playing in charitable action? And should it be doing more?
I think fashion is one of the most powerful forms of activism, and we don't do it enough. So messaging t-shirts was so important in the 80s for the fashion industry. And I just think that activism is getting lost by most fashion companies. But what can we do to really bring equity and equality to women? And fashion is the way to do it. I mean, everybody buys clothing. So how can brands get more involved with that and know that their customers are buying into their beliefs? They absolutely buy into their beliefs. When I speak now, people come up to me and said, I didn't know it was a woman-led brand. I didn't know you were involved in equality issues. I want to buy you now more than ever. I want to put my money into your company. And I know there's plenty of statistics that prove that point. So I would encourage companies to think about that, to get involved and not be scared. I think a lot of us get nervous about making somebody who doesn't have the same beliefs walk away from a brand and not care. And I think in the long run, you're going to have your base and they're going to follow you even more. And I think initially when we signed a Don't Ban Equality letter, we had a few customers drop us. We had some chatter on our social media, but it was overwhelmed by positive comments.
I think that's a great note to end on. Thank you so much, Mark and Suzanne, for joining me today. You've both provided a lot of insight into how companies can take on an active role in building a better industry and world. And hopefully viewers are walking away with some inspiration for their own CSR strategies.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you. That was fun.